Revelation is sometimes seen as a daunting and challenging book, but that's a beautiful passage. Have you ever looked round at church on a Sunday morning and just thought to yourself, what a motley crew? Sometimes more than others, I notice how weird and wonderful churches are. When I was 10, my family and I moved to Scotland, and we went to a church with about 40 people in the congregation. One of their favourite songs to sing was Bind Us Together, Lord, and much to the embarrassment of 10-year-old me, whenever they sang this song, they joined hands around the whole church and sang it as many times as they could possibly get away with. In every church, you find the people who clap out of time, the people who laugh really loudly at terrible jokes in sermons, the people who never make it to church on time, the kids who can't sit still, and isn't that all a wonderful thing? Churches are wonderful places filled with wonderful people, and we all choose this morning to be here together. I think that is incredible. There are not many places today where you find such a mix of people coming together with a shared purpose. Just have a look around you this morning. We are all here together, all with different backgrounds and different stories to tell. We're all here this morning with different worries on our mind, with different joys in our heart. And as you look around you this morning, as we shared the peace with one another, you see a worshiping people. You see members of the body of Christ. And in this place this morning, we see a glimpse of heaven. In John's vision in Revelation 7, he's taking a look around. Behold, he says, he's taking it all in, and he sees an unforgettable image of a great multitude of people. He sees people from every nation, tribe, and language. He sees more people than anyone could possibly count. John sees the church in its heavenly splendor. He sees the people of God standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They are clothed in white, symbolizing their purity and their holiness. They hold palm branches in their hands as they offer up joy-filled praise and worship. And they cry out, "Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb who sits on the throne." You'll remember from before Easter the picture we have of Palm Sunday. The crowds waved palm branches in worship, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But their worship was silenced. They realized that the one who came in the name of the Lord was not a warrior who would overthrow Roman rule. The one who came in the name of the Lord would instead be beaten, mocked, and crucified. In Holy Week, we explored Isaiah's servant song. In chapter 53, Isaiah prophesied that the servant of the Lord would be led like a lamb to the slaughter. In Christ's death, this prophecy was fulfilled. But thanks be to God, that was not the end of the story. On Easter Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection. We continue to celebrate the resurrection. And now in John's vision in Revelation, the Lamb is revealed in heavenly glory, and the palm branches are waved once again, voices raised in true worship. The Lamb who was slain is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is worthy of all honor and praise. By his death and resurrection comes our salvation. Salvation belongs to him. We need only respond in faith and lift our voices to join the song of heaven. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This morning we are part of that great multitude, united in our worship of God. Beautiful singing voice or completely tone deaf, it doesn't matter. In our worship, we experience a foretaste of heaven. but who is missing from our number? As we pray for the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, we are praying for that great multitude to be on earth as it is in heaven. We are praying for people to gather in the name of Christ and to worship in spirit and truth. My mum works for Habitat for Humanity. It's a global charity with a vision of a world where everyone has a decent place to live. Employees from all around the world gather every so often to meet, to challenge one another and to encourage one another, to worship and to pray together. At one meeting, they were invited to pray the Lord's Prayer together. And so people from every nation and language lifted up their voices to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, each in their own language. It brought my mum to tears as she had a glimpse of heaven, a glimpse of what it will be like to stand with the great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, and to worship our God. In the kingdom of heaven, in the great multitude, there is no room for prejudice, racism, or sectarianism, but there is room for everyone. We are invited to experience unity on earth as it is in heaven, invited to experience what it means to be united by faith in Christ and unified in one song of worship. So as we look around this morning, as we enjoy tea and coffee together afterwards, and as we see a worshiping people, notice who isn't here. Ask yourself, who can I invite to be part of our worship? Who can I pray for so that their hearts might be softened by the Spirit and so turned to worship? Who is missing and who can I invite? In John's vision in Revelation, the angels joined the great multitude in their worship of God. John is asked by one of the elders who these people are and where they have come from. But John does not need to explain. He replies, saying only, "Sir, you know." He is saying, "You know these people by their worship. You know these people by their appearance. They are obviously those who have come from the great tribulation, hearts filled with thankfulness and overflowing with worship. They are obviously those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." And that's miraculous. Imagine sitting down for breakfast, clean clothes on, delicious bacon bap in front of you, add some ketchup, take a bite, and ketchup comes out the other end. Red ketchup does not make for clean clothes. And yet, when the robes are washed in the blood of the Lamb, they are made whiter than white, and the people who wear them are made holy. Faith in Christ washes us clean and makes us holy. All the ketchup stains, all the things we shouldn't have done, all the things we should have done but haven't done, all of it washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, all our sins forgiven. And that's good news. That's the gospel. This morning, you might be sitting here not feeling very holy. You might not feel as though you deserve white robes. And the truth is, none of us do. But even so, despite all of that, Christ offers each and every one of us this incredible gift. This is the incredible, amazing gift of grace to us. These people, the great multitude, and each and every one of us today offer worship because of what Christ has done. We offer worship as forgiven people. We offer worship as people clothed in the righteousness of Christ, made holy because he is holy, and invited more than that, welcomed into the very throne room of God. "Sir, you know," said John. By their worship, the great multitude were known. By their appearance, it was obvious who they were. Can the same be said for us? At home, at work, with family, with friends, do people look at us and know that we are a worshiping people? Do others know that we are disciples of Christ? Do we share our faith whenever we can? Are we known by our worship? And are we making Christ known by the way we live? The worshiping people in Revelation do not worship because their lives are easy. They've come from the great tribulation. These people are united in worship through a time of great suffering and have come out the other end. John wrote at a time when the church was experiencing persecution. And this vision of a worshiping people in the heavenly throne room would have been a real encouragement to them. And for us too, we know the reality of suffering in life. We know that life can be unfair, and we know our own brokenness. We experience struggles with finances, family, addictions, pain, illness, and so much more. To those of us this morning with heavy hearts, struggling to worship, John's vision in Revelation offers hope. In Revelation, we are given a vision of eternity so that we can put our day-to-day struggles in perspective. These struggles that we all experience are not the end of the story. Because in Christ, we have hope. The intimacy and the joyfulness of the throne room might seem far off, but in Christ, it is a present reality. Because Paul writes, "In Christ Jesus our Lord, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing." In Christ, we are invited into the throne room of God, before the throne of God above, who will shelter us with his presence and satisfy our every need. The promise of Revelation 7 is the Lamb will be our shepherd. He will guide us by streams of living water, and our earthly struggles will be no more. Our tears will be wiped away, and all that will be left is music, praise, and worship. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is where our faith will lead us, to the very throne room of God, where we will spend eternity in worship. As we journey in Christ together, encouraging one another, rejoicing together, weeping together, worshiping together, we are already numbered in that great multitude. Who are we inviting to be one of our number? Are we known by our worship? And is Christ known by our lives? In times of struggle, are we keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus? Because one day we will stand before the throne of God above, sheltered by his presence, serving him day and night, our needs met and our tears wiped away. And what a glorious day that will be. Until then and forevermore, because of who Christ is, because of who he was for us, may the first words on our lips be words of worship. As I close, and as you're able, I invite you to stand. I invite you to lift your voices in worship together as we say the words on the screen, those words from Revelation 7. Let's say them together. Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.